Good news. We try to keep you up. Excuse me. We try to keep you updated on folks with this prayer list. As you know, the names that are in bold type are ones that are either new or have had a change in their condition or their treatment. And Brad's name is on there as being accepted at Cardinal Hill. So. That's a move forward. And also, I have a couple of other updates to share with you that I just received this morning. Number one, Charlie Montgomery has a knee injury that he's going to have to deal with. We don't know exactly how extensive it is, but he will be seeing a doctor about that. And Trevor Ogden has been diagnosed with a rare type of cancer. He will be seeing his oncologist tomorrow to determine when treatment will begin. So keep him in your prayers, if you will. And Jane Teeter just gave me a message this morning about her friends Brenda and Jerry Willoughby, who are on our cancer list. Both of them had scans last week, and they have finished their chemotherapy treatment, and they are showing no signs of cancer. So praise God for that. That's good news. But there are a lot of people on this list to pray about, so don't forget them. Excuse me. Now we're going to be all right. I have a friend who attended our church service here a few times and our fish fry a couple times. I don't know her age, and I'm afraid to ask her. But she and her husband are both retired. Now, 2 or 3 years ago, she ran in the Marine Corps Marathon in Washington, D.C., which I thought was noteworthy. Running a marathon is demanding. When you finish the 26 miles, you're not done yet. You still have nearly the length of 4 football fields to run, because a marathon is 26 miles, 385 yards. It's my impression, at least, that some of the people who run marathons do not care about winning the race. They simply want to prove to themselves that they can finish the race. Period. They might fall along the way, they might limp, they might walk part of the way, but their goal is to cross that finish line, even if they come in last. And I think this was also the goal of Jesus, to finish. Sent by his Father on a mission, he performed his Father's will to the very end. And as he hung dying on the cross, Jesus knew that when he died, our sins would be paid for in full. So when he cried out, "It is finished," I believe he meant that the price had been paid and God could now justly forgive our sins. So he spoke and he gave up his spirit and died and rose again 3 days later. But he finished his mission for us. And that's why we celebrate his sacrifice with these emblems of his body and the blood that he shed for us, because it means that everlasting life can be ours. We can have a life with no end because he was faithful to the end.
To be able to repent and be cleared of our sins is one of the best blessings that we will ever receive. And Lord, we take the commandments we use to represent Jesus' body and blood for us to have that opportunity. And we are so forever grateful. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Church you have provided us with. Thank you for each and every blessing that you give us. As we bring forth this gift, bless both the gift and the giver, and let it be used in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I want to read a passage of Scripture for you this morning. If you have your Bible with you, or you want to open the one in the pew there, I'm going to read Psalm number 46. This is not one of the Psalms that David wrote, but it's a great message about God. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. We have a mighty God. Let's join in singing about this mighty God of ours, beginning with hymn number 468. In the sweet by and by.
There's a land that he never made, and by faith we can stay in the heart. For the Father is so
turn then to number 545, song about how God deals with each one of us. Let's sing just the first and the last verses.
Thank you.
prayer hymn is number 422. While we stand for prayer, let's sing the first and the last verses of Take Time to Be Holy. We know you are our Heavenly Father, and as such, you love us like a father loves his children. You protect us. You provide for us as a loving father would do. But your care goes so far beyond what any earthly father would do, because there is no other like you. You teach us to love the things you love and to despise the things you hate. We learn to think as you think and to live our lives with our hearts fixed on eternity. It's no secret that we're weak and we're likely to fail you often, Father. We're eternally grateful for your mercy and the forgiveness you offer us in your Son, Jesus Christ. But never let us take that forgiveness for granted. Help us always to be grateful in our hearts to Him. We ask you to help us see what is important in this life and what is merely temporary. As we search the Scriptures, Father, let us learn to be your kind of people. People who make you smile by the way we live. And may we be constantly aware of your presence in our lives so that we will bring joy to your heart and hope to our future. We pray all this in the everlasting name of Jesus, your Son and our Redeemer. Amen. Seems to me that early in a new year is a good time to go back to basics. Back to basics. And the most basic thing we all share is our belief in God. We speak often of Jesus as God's Son, and rightly so. But today I want us to think about God Himself for a little while. Several years ago, comedians Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks did a comedy skit called The 2013 Year Old Man. Any of you remember that? Well, in the skit, Carl Reiner was interviewing Mel Brooks. Mel Brooks was the 2013 Year Old Man. And at one point, Reiner asked the old man, "Did you ever always believe in the Lord?" And Brooks said, "Well, no. We had a guy in our village named Phil. And we worshiped him." And Reiner said, You worshiped a guy named Phil? Why?" And Brooks said, "Well, because he was big and mean and he could break you in two with his bare hands." Reiner said, "Well, Did you pray to Phil? And Brooks said, well, yes. Would you like to hear one of our prayers? Oh, Phil, please don't be mean and hurt us or break us in two with your bare hands. And Reiner said, well, when did you start worshiping the Lord? Brooks said, well, one day a big thunderstorm came up and a lightning bolt hit Phil. And we gathered around and we saw that he was dead. And then we said to one another, there's something bigger than Phil. Well, there is something bigger than Phil, folks. I'm here to tell you. I realize this was just a comedy skit, but why did the people worship Phil? Because he was big and mean and he could break you in two with his bare hands, right? Well, he was bigger than they were and he could hurt them, in other words. They only stopped worshiping him because they discovered there was something even bigger than Phil that could also hurt them. I read about a preacher who asked his congregation for some of their favorite Bible verses. As he looked these verses over, he found that there seemed to be a pattern among them because almost all the verses seemed to have one thing in common. They were all about God. God has a plan for us. God saves us. God cares for us. God strengthens us, intercedes for us, provides for us. The thing that especially caught his attention was the verse of Scripture that I read this morning. Be still and know that I am God. Now, a lot of people like that verse, you know. There's something deeply comforting about the fact that God is God. He's bigger than you, he's bigger than me, he's bigger than Phil, even. Now, we don't worship God because he can hurt us. We worship him because he cares for us, and he loves us, and he's big enough to take care of us. Psalm 100 says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And in Deuteronomy 7, I see these words. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. See, God is bigger than we are, and he cares for us. Now, why should that appeal to us? Well, for one thing, I think that appeals to us because there's so much we can't control in this life. There's so many things that are beyond our control, and we end up being afraid because we don't have control of them. We don't know what's going to happen. And we tend to worry. Psalm 46 that we read this morning starts out by saying, don't do that. Don't be afraid. Remember the verses? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way. We will not fear. That's good theology. No, that's great theology. But there are times when this no fear thing is kind of hard to do, isn't it? Have you noticed? Back in the days of Psalm 46, there were a lot of things to be afraid of. Injury, disease, death, storms, earthquakes, droughts, famines, not to mention armies that would come marching through and destroy cities. Sounds quite modern, doesn't it? We still have all those things to worry us. But in many ways, we have it way, way better than they did. You see, we have doctors and nurses and hospitals. We have insurance companies, Medicare, Medicaid, retirement benefits. We have food stamps, housing for the poor, police, fire, military. We have a lot of advantages that they did not always have. And yet fear is a real thing, even for us. There are studies that prove or that point out that even today, Americans are the most stressed and fear-ridden people in the world. Believe it or not. Why would people in the most powerful and well-endowed nation on the globe be afraid? Well, because I think it's because it's a natural response to the unknown. Like I said, there are things we can't control, and that makes us a little scared. And then when life gets hard, when there's danger, or there's a threat to our livelihood, or when we face disease or injury, or even death, even the most spiritual among us can be afraid. Fear is one of the realities of life. And I expect all of us have experienced it sometime or other. When fear gets hold of us, we can become anxious and desperate and powerless. When fear controls us, our lives can get really miserable. But God tells us, don't let that happen. Don't be afraid. In fact, God tells us that over and over in the Bible. That's one of the most repeated commandments in Scripture. Don't be afraid. It shows up everywhere. And why shouldn't we be afraid? Because God is your refuge and your strength, your present help in trouble. He's God. He's Jehovah. He's the great I Am. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the creator of everything that exists. And He is your God. That should give us some comfort. Now, there are a couple of times in Scripture, for example, where some powerful kings unwisely questioned whether God was really God or not. When Moses stood before Pharaoh and declared, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh responded, "Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. Moreover, I will not let Israel go." Well, Pharaoh asked, "Who is the Lord?" Said he didn't know and he wasn't going to obey. Over the next few weeks, God introduced Himself to Pharaoh. One terrible plague after another. 10 of them altogether. He basically told, "This is who I am, and you will obey my voice." Centuries later, when King Nebuchadnezzar erected a huge statue of himself covered with gold and it glistened in the sun, and he commanded that all the people should bow down and worship this idol of himself. And everybody bowed down. Well, except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king was furious. He warned them. He was giving them one last chance. He said, "If you do not worship, you shall immediately be cast into a burning, fiery furnace. And who is the God that will deliver you out of my hands?" He didn't know God either. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego loved God more than they feared the king. So they told Nebuchadnezzar, "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O king." "But even if He doesn't," they said, "we're still not going to bow down to you." Well, we all know how that turned out, don't we? Be still and know that He's God. When you hear that, you should be comforted. And there should not be many things that you really worry about or are afraid about. I read about a man. He told about his 84-year-old grandmother. Now, people get to 84, they get sort of funny. You know, I can tell you that for sure. But she lived alone, but she had four children who lived in the same town, but she rarely called them except for emergencies. So when one of her sons got a call from her one morning, he quickly jumped in the car and drove over to her house, and when he got here, she explained that she had heard noises during the previous night, and she suspected there was a burglar in her bedroom closet. And he said, "What? Why didn't you call me last night?" She said, "Well, it was late and I hated to bother you, so I just nailed the closet door shut and went to bed." You see, that's the kind of confidence you and I can have when we believe that God is our God. We can just nail the door shut and let Him take care of stuff. He's the great I Am. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of everything that exists. And He is your God. But why be still and know that I'm God? What's that all about? Well, have you ever known a small child who got a splinter in their finger? I expect most of you have. He comes to you because it hurts, and he trusts that you'll be able to take it out, make it stop hurting. So you get out a needle and some tweezers, and you take the child's finger in your hand, but the minute you move toward it with the needle, what does the child do? Jerks that hand back and starts to cry. It hurts! Well, you haven't touched him yet, but he knows it hurts, and he knows it's going to hurt, so he begins to fuss and cry, and finally you've got to say, "You have to sit still. Don't move. I can't help you if you keep jumping around all the time." And I think when life gets difficult, and things aren't going the way we want them to, that's what we do when life hurts us. We fidget and we fuss and we won't sit still. In fact, sometimes we panic. And the reason we do is that we've forgotten the second part of this verse. Be still and know that I am God. What's he saying? He's saying, trust me. Trust me, I'm God. I can take care of this. Whatever it is. I read about a man who had a nephew named Joshua, about 8 years old. Now they were very close, this uncle and nephew, and they enjoyed being around each other. And one day they were playing tag in the backyard, and Joshua was running away from his uncle, and he was laughing and looking back over his shoulder to see where his uncle was, and he didn't seem to see a tree that was coming up. His uncle yelled at him to stop, and he turned around just in time to say hello to the tree. Well, he just dropped like a sack of potatoes. And he began to cry. His mouth was bleeding and he was hurt. So his uncle picked him up and carried him into the house, laid him down on the bed. And the boy's mother and his aunt were there, and they tried to console him, but he was having none of that. He was hurt. He's crying. And his uncle had been standing back feeling kind of useless, watching, when a thought occurred to him. So he sat down on the bed beside Joshua and he said, "Joshua, look at me." While still whimpering, he looked up into his uncle's face. And the man said, "Do you trust me?" And a puzzled look came over the boy's face. "We're not talking about my face. What are you talking about, trust you?" He said, "Joshua, do you trust me?" So the boy finally nodded his head and he said, "Joshua, you're going to be okay. Your mouth's bleeding now, but it will stop. And everything's going to be okay. Do you believe me?" And he nodded again. About 15 minutes later, they were back out in the backyard playing tag again. That's what happens, you see. When we get overwhelmed by the difficulties of life, we weep and we worry and nothing seems to be helping. That's when God says, "Do you trust me? Do you trust me? I'm God. I can fix this. But you've got to be still and know that I am God. Trust me." So how do you get to the point where you can trust God that way? Well, it's all a matter of proximity. I like that word, proximity. How close are you to God? Because the closer you live to God, the more you're going to trust Him. A child once asked his father how big God is. You ever get a question like that? I'll bet you have. How did you answer? Well, the father thought about it for a moment, then he looked up in the sky and he said, "You see that plane up there?" And the boy looked up and he said, "Well, I see it." He said, "How big is that plane?" He said, "Well, I can hardly see it. It looks pretty small." So his father nodded, and then he jumped the boy into the car, and they drove over to a nearby airport. And he got out and pointed out a big jetliner sitting on the runway. He said, "How big is that plane?" The boy said, "Well, that's huge." The father smiled. He said, "Well, it's the same with God. How big God is depends on how close you are to Him. The closer you are to Him, the greater He will be in your life. The bigger and the better." So my question for you today is, how close are you to God? How close are you living to God? The more time you spend in church and Bible study and prayer, the bigger God will get for you. Because you've tried to get closer to Him, to be still, and to know that He is God. This is all about getting close and trusting Him. Because He's God. He's God. But first, you've got to belong to Him. You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, who died to take away our sins. You've got to recognize you have sins that need to be forgiven. And you need to change your mind and your way of life, because that's repentance. And when you confess that Jesus is Lord in your life and are buried in the waters of Christian baptism, you can rise to live a new life. And you can put it all on God, because He's there for you. "Be still," He said, "and know that I am God." How close are you to God? That's my question. And I'm ready to get an answer. I'm ready to sing our invitation hymn, actually. We'll see if we can get some help with that. You might look it up in your hymn book. It's number 298, if you will. Find that in your hymn book. We're just going to sing the first and last verses. But if there's a decision you need to make today, we'd encourage you to let Him be God in your life. Just the first and last verses, number 298. Let's stand while we sing.
We will sing.
If you watched the news this morning on WKYT, you know that today is National Bagel Day. They had a whole article on it. But I'll bet you didn't know that today is also National Hat Day. It's National Strawberry Ice Cream Day. And it's National Pothole Day. How do you celebrate that? I don't know. But God bless you. Let's pray. Gracious God, we're blessed by your presence among us today. We depend on your promise that your spirit will abide with us and transform us more and more into the likeness of Christ. Wherever we go, let His love be seen in us so that others may open their hearts to you. But go with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Take the